Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all around the world that we are currently not bombing in Syria. You are listening to yet another episode of Let's Weekend Topical. I, of course, am your host of the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, even though that's a complete lie, Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Sologi. Say hi, everybody.
Hey.
Hello.
So if I sound a little ornery tonight, it's because I basically spent all day and yesterday basically carrying a bunch of heavy shit to get ready for tomorrow morning's yard sale.
Oh, joy.
Bad times.
I went ahead and basically talked a bit about this last time. But basically, there's nothing like, you know, getting on a rickety old ladder that two people need to support just so you can climb up in high places you haven't seen in almost 10 years, getting shit covered with dust that weighs a ton, trying to, you know, conveyor belt it down with multiple people onto a trailer and then tying it off with chains and rubber.
Oh, wow. That last part was a little interesting, but yeah.
Yeah, because we got so much shit, we can't use my dad's regular trailer. We had to get his utility trailer, one that he uses to carry, like, motorcycles and boats and shit.
Oh, my God. Okay, so yeah. Is it going to, like, monsoon tomorrow?
No, we're good.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, it's going to be nice and sunny tomorrow. And it's not going to be too hot, either. It's going to be, like, in the low 70s. So
sweet. That's hot. What the hell, dude?
Yeah. And you know what the best part is? I don't have to go.
You still get some of the money?
Oh, yeah, I still get some of the money. I just don't have to go. But, yeah, and so as you're probably guessing, I'm tired. My muscles are screaming at me.
You know what's great for that?
Weed.
Percocet.
Yeah. I was going to say weed, but...
No, use what you got available.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about stuff we got available, I mean, I got to... Moving on. So, yeah, anyway, this episode's going to be for April 7th, 2017. Some shit went down this week, including what may or may not be the beginning of World War III. Time will tell. We got some more political shit. We got some new stuff from Comedy Central, some movie stuff. Apparently Burger King's coming out with something that sounds absolutely disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll if all it. Goes well, we will be continuing and hopefully finishing our Gamer Mag Remembrances for GamePro number 109. Hmm. But to start us all off, Bill, what have you been up to this week?
So I just finished Ghost in the Wires. Which is the autobiography of Kevin Mitnick. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with him, but
you can't be
hosted by him.
You can't be heavily into the internet or computers and not know who he is.
Yeah, it's a pretty good book because it kind of goes into pretty much everything that he was responsible for and a lot of the stuff that he wasn't responsible for, which is, you know, good to set the record straight. So, no, he did not hack the CIA. No, he did not hack NORAD because that's not really possible. So, yeah. He did, however, make off with a whole crap ton of OS source code and cell phone firmwares and complete customer records of many companies just because he could.
Yeah. Just because he could.
Yeah. And it's like the prosecutors couldn't really understand that mentality. Yeah. It's like, but he didn't make money. No.
He's just collecting knowledge.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because it's there.
Yeah. So. Also, through that book, you find out how John Markoff and Tsutomu Nishimura are total assholes.
Yeah. And they were kind of, they were assholes.
Well, Tsutomu Nishimura especially. That dude's got an ego that's like a mile wide.
Yeah.
And Markoff is, well, Markoff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the guy who... A lot of the sort of big, like, rumors and sort of mystique around Kevin Mitnick you can kind of blame on him.
Yeah. Yeah, he made up a lot of that shit. So,
yeah. And by the way, those who don't know, Markoff and Shimomura wrote this book way back in the 90s called Takedown.
Yeah.
And it's basically about 70% pure bullshit.
Yeah. And then they tried to make a movie about it.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't go well.
No.
But yeah, so I've been finished that today and tomorrow. I don't know. I'll probably start the Art of Deception because I've got a copy of that. So yeah, I'll learn how to lie to everybody because why the hell not?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, besides that, I've been listening to a bunch of music here and there. You know, just having not a whole lot of time this week, so it was basically my old standbys. You know, Rush, Parsons Project, you know, a bit of Steely Dan here and there. Because I'm also waiting for some records to show up. Ordered a few fun ones. Still working on my Metallica collection, so I ordered Kill 'Em All and Ride the Lightning on vinyl.
Nice.
So those will be coming in probably next week or the week after. Also ordered the Guardians of the Galaxy Deluxe Edition soundtrack. So, yeah, that's going to be a good one. I wanted to get it on cassette, but I couldn't find it, so that's a problem. But yeah, what else have I been doing? Oh yeah. Yeah, bunch of Mythbusters and Netflix stuff that I've been going through also. I've got a Netflix story later on about the thumbs up and thumbs down. I actually ran into that, so I'm going to talk more about that later. But yeah, it's kind of been, you know, quiet, same old type week. How about you?
Patrick?
No, I had an interesting encounter earlier today. Let me just clear the air on this. I have no problem if people want to be vegetarians, if they want to be vegans or what have you. The moment you try to impose that approach on me or to shame me for not living that lifestyle, you got problems.
So, all right, give us the details.
I'm not going to give any details away, but I will say that doing so would open a can of worms that usually leads me to buying 8 crisp beef burritos at Taco Time in your honor, which I am going to consume over the course of this podcast because fuck you and because – your moral outrage causes me to have pleasure. So.
Oh my God. 8 fucking Krispies? Damn.
Worth it.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's a piece of this week.
All right. Well, what about you, Teresa?
I just wanted to get that out there.
Yeah. All right, Teresa, what about you?
I've been a little kind of scattershot this week. Big surprise. I went back to playing Final Fantasy 15 and worked on that a little bit.
You're one number off.
I know, dude. I know. I gotta get back into that. I found a computer downstairs and threw a hard drive in it and put Windows on it and spent $7 on a monitor and $3 on, oh yeah, I needed a really long Cat 5 cable. And I built a $10 PC so my kid could play Minecraft. And he is currently taking a break from Sims 3 because his butt was about to meld into the chair.
That's a good reason to take a breather.
Yeah. So that was kind of fun. It pissed me off a lot, but it was still kind of fun. Because, you know, the person had pulled the hard drive, which was a great idea, and I threw one in, and I kept trying to get Windows 8.1 on it, so of course I could upgrade to 10 using the accessibility thing, and apparently it needed to be 8.1 Pro, not Home, and it needed to be 32-bit, not 64-bit, so hooray. that was great. It's slow as shit. I can't believe he's using this thing. It's bad.
10 bucks.
Yeah, well, yeah, $10 because I needed a damn monitor. But other than that, we finally finished Star Wars Rebels. We finished this series or this season, and that was a really good ending. Thrawn is—he's the shit, man. I loved him in the books too, so that's cool. And then we started Archer. That was a really good first episode. I think that was out Wednesday night. So they're doing Archer Dreamland for this season. And I was pissed off when it ended. I'm like, you just can't stop. That wasn't 20 minutes. Come on. So, obviously really enjoyed that. And then I did get back and watched the middle section of Slapshot. This is just awesome. Oh, my God.
You are welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, no, thank Phil, man. He's the one hosting that. So it's awesome. Good thing about Sims 3 is that kids playing with the headphones on and we have the thing blaring. So, and then in the middle of watching it, you know, we're like dying in the living room laughing. In the middle of watching it, we get a knock on our condo door and we're like, oh, shit. Have we finally been loud enough to piss someone off? But somebody ended up getting my eBay package on accident, so she was just bringing it downstairs. and then I have played about 30 solid fucking hours of Kingdom on Steam. And it's really... It's a great game, obviously, but it's really, really bad because I keep having dreams about it all fucking night long. I'm riding this goddamn horse back and forth across the screen. And then it morphs into me, like, having some sort of weird, I don't know, battles with coin-stealing fucking goblin creatures. It's just, I really like that game.
Well, now there's a second one, isn't there?
There is. We have that, too. My kid has played it. And I'm like, no, man, I gotta finish this one. I'm like,
don't spoil it for me.
No! Well, he did. He told me that the attacks only come from one side in that game. So I'm like, well, that kind of nerfs it because, you know, you gotta... Anyway. So, loving that game. Put it on your wish list. Wait for the Steam sale. It's so worth it. But it's a strategy resource, you know, bullshit. You guys know me.
Yeah.
So it's like a very small dose of my Civ meditation. And I haven't been playing that because my fucking Razor Blade has still not shipped. I'm so pissed off about that. Because I'm going to probably get a job and I want to be able to use this computer for at least a fucking week before I go to work. And it hasn't even shipped. So
yeah, I don't know what the deal is with their wait list, but yeah, those things. I've heard a lot of people having shipping issues with those.
Well, I got a refurb when it was on a one-day sale. So I'm not paying $2,000 for a fucking computer. Come on, you guys. I can buy a car for that. But I had a code for a free Razer Firefly cloth. It's their, you know, little light-up gaming mouse pad.
Okay.
And so I wanted that. Well, guess what's out of stock? The fucking cloth.
So that's yes. Your laptop.
Yes! And everybody else on Slick Deals, oh, we got ours. And I'm like, fuck you. Yeah, I'm not real happy about it. Then I called them to try to get some answers because it says boxed. And it said boxed since Monday. And nothing's happened. So I'm trying to get some answers. They're like, they're like, go to the website, click. And I'm like, God damn you. So yeah, that's enough of my crazy ass week. Who's next?
Chris.
That'd be Chris. Chris?
Yeah.
So the new season of Prison Break started, and I am obligated to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an interesting way to change from a, and I'll spoil this, the way the original series ended is that Michael sacrifices himself. He gets electrocuted.
And lose.
Oh, Teresa left. She got so mad she wanted to avoid the spoilers. So, yeah. amazingly, this starts up, and apparently he's alive. in a prison in Yemen, in the middle of a civil war there. And so Lincoln has to... he figures out how to get there. T-Bag gets out of prison. Goes on a weird thing where he's getting a new robot hand. That's all weird. Sucre shows up wanting to go with Lincoln. He gets denied. But C-Note's also around. He, in the years since they got out, he has become a Muslim. So he is partnering up with Lincoln as the sort of at least a partner with that. I'm guessing Teresa's going to want back in if she gets back on.
I was hoping somebody who wasn't holding a controller was going to do the honors, but yeah, there you go.
I got it.
And so they actually find him in the prison, and he doesn't know who Michael Schofield is. So there's a whole thing that's going to be going on, him potentially being brainwashed or something, I don't know. But it at least sets the stage for this being just a crazy, stupid season, and hopefully at least goes and nails that aspect of it, because it's pretty silly so far, just from this first episode. And yeah, so far so good on that. I watched the new Louis C.K. special. It's on Netflix, and it's pretty good. Starts with abortion jokes.
Nice.
Him talking about how women should be allowed to do what they want, but it's also murder. And then goes on weird tangents. And it's about a point talking about his love for Magic Mike. And it's a lot of fun. It's a really good Louis C.K. show, which is not a huge surprise. He doesn't do very much bad work. As for games, still playing more MLB The Show 17. Kind of getting into Diamond Dynasty. But not still, because a lot of the point of that mode is filling out the missions, which I'll say like things like, oh, go do this and this, or the one that I mentioned before is beat each team twice in the versus CPU mode. And that's kind of tedious, but the ability to get back and forth between the list of missions and the actual game stuff is really tedious. And that's sort of the thing that's keeping me from really sinking my teeth into that mode. But mostly playing the Road to the Show stuff, playing more the with my first baseman, who just plays on a horrible team, but we're finally starting to turn around.
What league? Guys,
we're in the Southern League, the Jackson Generals.
So, I mean, double A, triple A?
Double A. That's where you start in all those modes, is double A. Double A. My guy is pretty good.
I'll tell you how long it's been since I've started a character.
Yeah, I think Teresa wants back in.
Yeah, I'm trying.
My guy is pretty good. He's leading the league in average. No home runs, though. But I'm pretty good in most other parts. I'm trying to figure out how to hit home runs, because I was hitting them pretty well in the tryout stuff early on. But have not been able to just nail one. Mostly just getting regular hits and knocking in RBIs and all that. My pitcher's doing pretty well. I got to the All-Star game, started that, did two innings, struck out four. And my guy, which was originally a closer, converted to a starting pitcher, and he leads the league in strikeouts. Which on that team, it's the Birmingham Barons, which you might recognize from Space Jam, the minor league team that Michael Jordan was on.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy. I'm striking out guys at a crazy rate compared to everybody else, which the dynamic difficulty is steadily creeping up as it's trying to figure out how to stop me from doing this. Meanwhile, I just keep turning up the speed on my fastball and just throwing 100-mile-an-hour pitches all the time, which is a pretty good way to get them out.
You're throwing that much heat, you shouldn't be in Double A.
Yeah, there's talk about me going to Triple A, but I haven't gotten called up just yet. But I like when I get to 5 or 6 innings and I'm doing pretty well. I get pulled out after one hit over nothing and end up losing the game because they give up. The relief pitcher gives up the run right away, and then
naturally
immediately lose. Don't get back over that. So I got my second loss of the season for nothing. It's like I could have been going 7 or 8 at least, like I've been. But yeah, now that's going along nicely. Playing more Mass Effect Andromeda. I've been mostly playing the mobile game, which is all taking control of the strike teams. So when I got back in, I had a ton of stuff to redeem. They don't have any sort of quick option on that stuff. It's pretty much just do it one at a time. And that's pretty slow when you got like 50 plus items to get. But yeah, I got back into the main mission after I figured out all the side stuff that I have left is pretty much either back on the Nexus or is in the really high radiation areas on the first planet. So I'm just mainlining it now just to get that going so I can hopefully get some way of upgrading the protection on whatever the Mako is. Which I actually like that a lot more than the Mako because it can just run over stuff more easily.
Yeah.
You can just fucking run it over everything and just, no, don't worry about it. It just figures a way over it.
As long as you got the traction.
Yeah. That's one of the problems. I got to constantly keep changing modes from all terrain to the regular. It's like, okay, which one am I in? I don't remember that anymore. That sort of stuff. Yeah, that's been good so far. I finally met PB. Now I'm on to, I think, the third pillar that you have to activate.
Yeah.
That's where I stopped. Also been playing more Zelda. That cool quest on the island that I mentioned, I died right after the show. But then on the next time, which I was recording, managed to complete it. So I got 2-part videos up on my channel for that, which is a really cool quest where essentially you get 1 life to get the 3 orbs into their respective slots, I guess. And that's a lot tougher than it seems, especially when you can't die once or else you're going to lose everything. You start without anything in your inventory. So you got to go pick up. So I had a pretty good order of things down. Like, oh, I'm going to go run over here, pick up a stick, then run over here and get a ore. I'm going to throw a bomb over by these bokoblins around a fire. It's also by explosive pots. So they go run over, like, what the hell is this? And then, boom, they're dead. I was just like, okay, run along this beach, which in doing this, I completely ignored the very first one I could have gotten, but that's where I went to the back. So, yeah, I can definitely share links with you, Pat, if you want to see that, if you haven't done that island yet.
Yeah, I'm actually playing it right now. but yeah, that would be cool. Also, I have a theory about this new Zelda. After seeing some footage that got shared, I think it was on Nintendo Life. Is this not the Jackass game that they should have made back in the day?
Maybe
that was an epic fall.
Yeah, it
so
really was.
So for those who haven't seen it, he gets a pot lid for his shield, proceeds to light it on fire, in a campfire and tries to basically shield board with it down Death Mountain.
And then hilarity ensues.
Yeah, oh, it pretty much disintegrates right under him.
Oh. Okay.
He might have had a better shot if he didn't set it on fire first, but okay.
All right. Yeah.
Just all right.
I guess you can finish off what you have left, Brandon.
Yeah. So, I have basically been dividing my time between Mass Effect Andromeda and Persona 5.
How does that work?
And, one night I do Mass Effect Andromeda, the next night I do Persona 5. Rinse and repeat. Does that make sense?
That's because you
in
have
theory,
discipline.
I'm more worried about in practice.
Well, I've got an iron will, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so for those of you who don't know, Mass Effect Andromeda, BioWare just released the first patch.
Yeah.
Which, yes, it does address some of the graphical problems. They've improved a lot of the faces now, so it doesn't look quite as robotic as it originally did.
I didn't really tell much of a difference anyway.
And also they took away every time you go to like a different part of the game, like a different planet or a different system, you go through like this autopilot type of thing. They added in a feature now where after you've experienced that particular animation once, you can skip through it.
Good.
Next.
Yeah.
They've also added some other stuff. They've sort of tweaked some of the gameplay. Still a lot of fun. Still loving it. I am still completely in awe of just the sheer amount of content that is in this game. I finally found the Angara, who are officially my new favorite species in Mass Effect and in the Mass Effect universe. But their whole sort of thing, their like relation to the Ket and that whole thing is pretty. I won't spoil it, but it's pretty neat. And yes, of course. I'm also playing Persona 5, and Persona 5 is awesome and stylish as fuck.
Have you noticed that the guy that takes in your dude looks like Dr. Venture?
Yep. Yes, I did.
He's got that same beard.
Mm-hmm. And he's got the same fuck you attitude as well. Also, this game is shockingly relevant. Any of you guys played it yet? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, it definitely makes a big difference when you look back at Persona 4 and that doesn't even have smartphones in it.
No.
Not until maybe some of the spin-off games.
Yeah. And just the themes in general. Like, basically the very first thing you're trying to do is... Okay, so as with all the other Persona games, there's a lot of weird metaphorical shit going on. And in this particular one, there's this sort of other reality that bends its will to how people perceive things. So the first sort of quote-unquote dungeon that you go in, they call them palaces in the game, is in reality, it's your school. You know, the academy. Because the hero of this game, basically the guy that you're playing, the Joker, which is basically his code name, he has an official name, of course.
Akira Kurusu.
Yeah. Basically, he fucked with the wrong guy one night. He came across this drunk guy harassing this woman. He pushes the guy away from her. He falls down, busts his head open. The police, of course, arrests kid and he gets sued and he gets expelled from his school. So that's the reason why he's being in a cafe with some old dude in an alleyway in Tokyo.
And why his parents basically agree to have him transferred somewhere else to a young guy that owns a restaurant.
Yeah, that is apparently friends with someone in the family.
Yeah.
And then, anyway, what happens is he starts getting this weird little app on his phone that he keeps trying to delete. Of course, it keeps coming back. And apparently when you use this app, it basically takes you into the alternate realm. And in the alternate realm, he discovers that the school, the academy, is a giant castle. And inside that castle is the guy who's the coach for the volleyball team is basically a king, basically cruelly oppressing his subjects. Because, like, there's this whole backstory about how the dude who runs the guy who coaches the football team is a complete asshole who, you know, physically abuses the team and is basically responsible for one of your one of the members in your party was originally in the track team, and apparently the coach was an asshole, and then said asshole broke his leg, and so he can no longer, you know, run track, and it's all this drama and stuff, and it's really awesome. Great stuff. And let's see. So yeah, I'm doing that. And obviously I got books and stuff like that. Also, went through while we were going through the Yardstale stuff, not just my family, but other families, I found a still working in nice condition 1976 vinyl edition of Thin Lizzy's Jailbreak.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, you better believe I took that back to my room.
It's like, yeah,
that was a coup right there. Holy shit.
Yeah, if you don't have anything to play it on right now, it's like, yeah, I'll take that.
No, I've got one. I got a turntable. No problem. But, man, that was just an awesome find on my part. Because, holy shit, old Thin Lizzy albums are actually hard to find.
Yes.
Especially from like the 76 to 80 era. All that shit, you basically have to freaking... It was just a lucky break on my part. Oh, and I also, going through my dad's things, and I found vintage one of those model kits for House of Horror, the guillotine. Yeah. So my dad tells me the story back when he was a kid. He had this was the one we're talking about here. It's still in the box, plastic. Yeah. But he used to have one like that back when he was a kid, and he had it facing out of his bedroom window, and he had a little string attached to it. Whenever somebody would walk by his bedroom window, he'd pull the string and snap.
Freaked them out.
Yeah. But yeah, so I got that stuff. And as I mentioned earlier, yes, lifting all the heavy shit for the yard sale. That's been oh so much fun. Thank God it will be all of it will be over tomorrow morning. We'll not have to worry about this shit again. But yeah, it's just this whole process took us about 2 weeks total. We mostly had to deal with shit like a lot of this was just like getting logistics and shit in order. Because, like I said, this isn't just my family. This is a bunch of the families in the neighborhood. And and there's just a lot of shit.
Yeah.
You really do not realize just how much stuff you accumulate in about a decade. It's
really
insane.
No idea? Yeah. Oh, no. It's a lot. It took us 3 years to clean out 7 years worth of stuff of our house before we could move to a 1,000-square-foot condo. Fucking years.
Oh, God. But yeah, but it was a lot of work, but it's over now.
Yep.
You know, all the stuff's put up, and I don't have to deal with it again.
Sorry. I will say, though, getting rid of stuff.
Oh, I will say that the house is definitely a lot more spacious than I remember it being. So
yeah. Well, you could do it again, like every 6 months. Just kind of go through and say, "Fuck this shit. We've got better shit to put in here." Yeah. It's curating. That's what it's called. You're curating your household.
Mm-hmm. All right, so. That's all taken care of. Anybody got anything else they want to add before we move on?
Yeah, I'll add that the Windows 10 Creators update is out. You can get it if you want. You probably should. It won't blow up your computer. At least it hasn't blown up mine so far.
Well, alrighty then. So, moving on from there, it is once again time for everybody's favorite segment of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. So, any of y'all who saw Teresa on Facebook today probably saw the fact that she's apparently getting harassed by Canadian geese.
No, I wasn't, but I have been. actually, I used to live in an apartment, and they would fly up onto the roof. I lived on the third floor, and those motherfuckers would stomp around right over my bedroom all goddamn morning. Yeah. And then we would have to carry keys and jingle them at them because they would try nesting and they'd hiss at us on our way to our apartment. Mm-hmm. But no, I live four floors down, so I don't give a shit that there are Canadian geese up on our building stomping around.
Yeah.
But no, these fuckers were at a park that was supposed to be a Doduo nest, but there was migration for Pokemon Go, so I was still sitting there because there's cool squirrels to watch. But no, there was one goose who was just being an asshole to everybody. I stayed in my car.
Yeah. So, unlike your average Canadian, which tends to be gracious and polite, Canadian geese are complete total assholes. They are the children of the devil, and I will gladly kill one with my bare hands.
But it's illegal, you sucker. You can't do that. They're protected.
Yeah, but Seriously. They're only protected when they're in the sight of the police.
Oh, my God.
Well, speaking of protected, another random factoid. Foresight was not good on this one. Do you know what Utah's state bird is?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God. It's
naturally protected by law, despite its rampancy.
A seagull?
Yep.
Oh, my God! Are you kidding me?
Yep. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Why?
Yeah. So, anyway, this whole talk about Canadian geese is just... Yeah, so this talk about Canadian geese is just a really bad segue into a little bit of a biology lesson about one of the relatives of geese, the duck.
Mm-hmm.
And how it reproduces.
Well, I mean, they basically gang rape the girl ducks, and they're doing it, like, now. I can't stand seeing ducks right now.
Yeah, but, see, there it goes. There's a little bit more involved with that. You see, yes, male ducks in the wild are notoriously aggressive when it comes to sexual stuff. And as you can probably guess, the female ducks are kind of like, get the fuck off me. You know, quack means no, asshole. But so here's the weird thing. Over the generations, their biology basically shifted and changed to try and deal with this bullshit. So basically what started is a kind of genital war that has gone on for centuries upon centuries. And the first shot was fired by the female ducks when their vaginas eventually ended up looking like this. Just take a look at that. That is an actual, that is what a duck vagina looks like.
No, I'm not looking at that shit, dude.
It's an illustration.
Oh, well,
I don't care.
As you can see, the duck vagina is extremely labyrinthine. There's even false starts and little traps inside of it. And all of this just so they could get it so that the male ducks would stop trying to rape them. And then the second shot was fired by the male ducks.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes.
This is disturbing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just, it's about to get worse.
No. No, it can't.
Yes, it can.
Oh, God.
Behold, the duck penis. Which is almost twice its body length and prehensile. It's basically a long, fleshy corkscrew. Oh, and guess what? It just so happens to curve in the opposite direction. It even comes with barbs so that if another male duck tried to inseminate the female, it can try and get rid of some of the rival duck's sperm.
Oh, my God. Somebody bring me a drink.
Nature at work, folks.
Yep. And that's how you know nature is scary. Oh, God. Yeah, and like I said, it is also prehensile, so that thing can fucking move around.
God.
Oh, yeah. So, nature is a pervert, or apparently God is a pervert. And, either that or evolution can just take some really weird goddamn turns sometimes.
I think evolution just does whatever it wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it kind of looks that way.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been yet another installment, whether you wanted it or not, of Brandon's Random Factoid. Join me next time on another episode of Brandon's Random Factoid when I tell you about female hyenas.
No. No, you can't do that either.
Oh, yeah. Now.
On to brighter news.
Yes, now we have to get serious for a minute. All right, so our assholes of the week are the Senate GOP, who used the nuclear option to get Mr. Gorsuch into, yeah, that's right, I called him Gorsuch, on Supreme Court. So, Chris, are you the one who put this up? Take it away.
Gorsuch has been in the nomination and all that scrutiny stuff for the last few weeks. And Mitch McConnell, the living embodiment of stupidity. Is that a good way to describe it?
I would say turtle.
Yeah.
Turtle. He looks like a Dana Carvey in the what was the movie? The
Master of Disguise?
Yes. It looks like that.
Like, he's got no neck, but he's got no neck in the way you don't want to have no neck.
Yeah. Am I not turtly enough for the Turtle Club? You know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a not really nice image that was going around earlier this week of basically him saying, we've got no other option when Obama was trying to nominate somebody for the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And, Garland. And, now this time around, he's complaining that the other guys are trying to gum up the works and get this guy in, which is completely contradictory because they did the exact same thing.
Oh, well, he knows it is.
Oh, yeah. It's called hypocrite.
Yep. And, the early part of this week, the Democrats basically said they had the 41 votes they needed to stop the nomination, filibuster and all that. And so the Senate GOP said, all right, we're just going to go nuclear and strip the minority party of the filibuster, reduce the number of votes needed to appoint a Supreme Court justice to 51 instead of 60, And proceeded to ram it right through.
Yep. That may be the last thing they get passed in Congress for a long time.
Yeah. Which is also nice because earlier this week, people figured out Gorsuch has done a lot of plagiarism in his papers.
Yep. That's right.
Lots of bad opinions. Pro-corporations, anti-women, all that sort of stuff.
Yep. Which is what got him the fucking job.
And let's just be honest. That's how he got it.
Yep.
And,
I saw an interesting stat on this particular thing I put here. There have been 147 times cloture has been invoked up to November 2013. 79 of those were during Obama's term up through November 2013.
Yep.
68 for every other president before that.
God damn.
That's
it's called assholes.
Yeah.
They don't want to do anything the way that it's supposed to work in Congress.
Hence the reason there are assholes of the week.
Yeah.
And there ain't nothing like naked corruption, tell ya. And that is just downright, that is about as naked as it can get. Because it's really translucent what's going on here.
Yep. They've openly admitted all of it up ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. And, for the record, he is in the majority. He is notoriously not only hypocritical, he is unashamedly hypocritical.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. He knows damn well that's how the massive sort of difference between the two, and the similarities in his way he's reacting to him. He knows it, but he just doesn't care. Him is just objects to be moved around on a game of chess.
Yeah.
But fortunately, not everybody in Congress is a complete asshole. Our heroes of the week is Democrat Kirsten Gillibrand, who is who is she representative of? She's Congress. Let's see. Yeah, Kirsten Gillibrand, 50, junior senator from New York. And basically what she said is, if Congress isn't helping people, just go the fuck home. And just plain simple words. And I'm pretty sure that we're not paraphrasing there. That's actually what she said.
That's the quote.
Yeah, let's see.
It says, I know Susan's worldview is similar to my worldview, says Gillibrand, which is that we're here to help people, and if we're not helping people, we should go the fuck home.
Yeah. She dropped the F-bomb. It was a much needed F-bomb, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Quite appropriate. Honestly, I don't think any jury would convict her.
No.
She's basically just had it up to here with this bullshit.
Yeah.
Because it's so nakedly obvious to just about everybody involved, anybody that's watching, what's going on here. And the only thing that can keep me from, just the massive amount of facepalm I want to give myself is that I don't want to break my nose.
Mm-hmm. That's a good reason, though.
That's
healthy.
You're in the minority of people who, who actually want to protect their nose and not break it despite their face.
Yeah. But, there comes a You got to understand that we are at a point now where, you know, actual faith in the system has almost completely collapsed at this point. It is now to the point that basically the system is just something that we just go on living with in spite of, rather than actively take part in.
Yeah.
And it's just... Do you guys remember a while back I did one of my random factoids about that story of the before the Civil War of the two congressmen, one of whom was pro-slavery, the other was anti-slavery, and one of them, the pro-slavery guy, walked into the Capitol building over to where the anti-slavery guy was and damn near beat him to death with his cane.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I think we're getting pretty close to that point. Yeah. Like, I absolutely believe that within the next couple of years, you're going to see one congressperson just completely lose their shit and just go animal on just another congressperson.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, in other democracies, that's surprisingly common.
Yeah.
But, of course, the thing about American democracy is we've built up this sort of bubble of faux respectability.
Yeah.
That just hides all the sewage underneath it.
Yeah.
When, frankly, I'm of the opinion that politics is something you should get your cackles up about, because it's the serious shit you're talking about, and you should get passionate enough that you want to punch someone.
Yeah.
For God's sakes, and it doesn't even need to get physical. I mean, look at what happens in the House of Commons basically every week in the UK.
Yeah.
When the Prime Minister has to answer questions from the other MPs, and just he has to sit there and take it.
Yeah. Yep.
And there ain't no rage like dry British rage. I'm just waiting for someone to throw the first punch is all.
That will be a great day too.
Yeah. So, yes, Mrs. Gillibrand, proof that there's still good folks in Congress.
We need to put more of them there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're on our way.
Well, Brianna Wu is actually running for Congress in the next election in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I can get on board with.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a bunch of folks coming up. The city council people here in Georgia, who's going up on, who is an openly declared socialist, is running for, I think, it's head of the city council on one of our counties here, and he's probably going to win. In a deep red state like Georgia, so times are going to change.
Oh, we had local elections here on Tuesday. And my husband went at the end of polling, and he asked how voter turnout was. And one woman very grumpily said, "We were busy all day. There were a lot of people who came out." And he thought that maybe she was Republican and was very disappointed that lots of Democrats had, had come out.
And like, isn't that what's supposed to happen?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that was it was like that across the county, in that there were many upsets in, because our county has like freaking 100 different cities or something, I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats had a strong showing in almost every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good thing. It was a good thing. Yeah. I hope it bodes well for 2018.
Yeah.
So, speaking of shit we can't wait to happen, the civil war within the Trump administration.
Oh my God.
Oh, this is glorious.
So first things first, Trump basically kicked Steve Bannon off of the National Security Council.
Yeah.
Apparently he just made enough of a stink that he just couldn't keep him there anymore.
Hmm.
For the record, he's still on there as his advisor, but whether or not that's going to last is up in the air.
Yeah.
Also, there's some serious issues with David Kushner.
Yeah.
Bannon's not going to win that battle.
Oh, no. And what's especially funny is if there's one thing that's really awesome about it, it's the fact that obviously Steve Bannon and his ilk are sort of the alt-right, you know, and David Kushner is Jewish.
Yep.
And you know that gets under their skin.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he's heading up that new council that Trump came up with.
Yeah.
So, what was it called? The American Innovation Council?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
But, just the fact that Steve Bannon's going to get the axe is just reason by itself to celebrate.
Yep.
He hasn't officially gotten the axe yet, but that looks like where the wind's blowing. He's just too much of a liability to keep around.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a dude who is completely straight up fucking mental.
Yeah.
He's an actual honest to God racist. Like, he is a honest to God white nationalist, and that is not hyperbole.
No.
Yeah.
This is a guy who's obsessed with the Camp of the Saints, which is a apocalyptic French novel about how Western civilization is destroyed because a bunch of brown people fleeing their homelands come to France.
Yeah,
he also follows that, oh God, what is that belief that there's cycles of something or another and we're about to be in blah, 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 blah.
I've heard it before.
Yeah.
Can't remember.
Yeah. But, and, plus he's just an asshole.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah.
Leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. But then Trump then proceeded to basically drop all that goodwill he got for himself when he decided to bomb the utter shit out of a Syrian airbase.
Oh my God.
Apparently they're still having...
There are so many facets to this.
Airbase. So no real problems there.
Yeah, like, okay, here's the thing. He goes out and he wastes 50 Tomahawk missiles. That shit don't cost a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
To minorly inconvenience a single airbase and take out a number of personnel there numbering 9.
Yeah. Including some Russians.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
that's over 5 missiles per head.
Yeah. Now, what exactly is it that triggered this? What triggered this was reports that Bashar al-Assad had used sarin gas on a group of people, maybe who may have been dissidents or whatever, and of course, they all sadly died a very painful death.
And to be fair, that did warrant a response.
Yes, it did. Now, was this the response that should have been given?
Especially to it from Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, he did this all from Golf Resort. Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
And for the record, he was hosting the premier of the PRC at the time. So, you know that something, that shit with Kim Jong-un probably got brought up as well.
Yeah.
And the National Security Council has actually publicly come out saying we are giving Trump several options, one of which is just straight up killing the little troll. Honestly, I won't cry any tears if Kim Jong-un ends up with a bullet in the back of his head.
No.
And frankly, I think quite a few people in North Korea would rejoice.
True. Yeah. And Trump's bloodthirsty enough to do it.
Yeah. And honestly, part of me thinks that if you know anything about the relation between North Korea and China, that it's not entirely outside the realm of reason that China will just sort of look the other way and be like, assassination? What assassination? Because at this point, North Korea is a major liability for them.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, of course, the thing is, if you do try to overthrow the Kim dynasty, there's going to be major ramifications for Korea in general. But anyway, that's neither here nor there right now. All we do know, though, is that this bit of hotheadedness may or may not spark World War III. Keep your fingers crossed.
I honestly don't know.
I think it was impotent enough that it could get shrugged off.
I'm not seeing a whole lot of pushback.
Well, that's true. A lot of the other countries have sort of come in as like, okay. It's like, I think they kind of finally realize that, yeah, he will totally press the button if he feels like it. And everyone's like, okay, dude, settle down. We get ya.
And we can totally trust this administration to have the nuance to be able to handle the difference between what they're doing right now and what they could be doing.
Yeah.
That, and that's the thing. I don't think anyone's questioning that something had to happen in Syria.
Yeah.
What is being questioned is the Trump administration's competence to see this through in the days and weeks ahead.
Yeah. Because I understand, the biggest problem here is that we put an airstrike on Syria. Syria, who's their biggest ally?
Russia.
Exactly. Now, here's where the fun part.
Aren't the Iranians fond of them too?
Yeah, Iranians are winning them as well. See, here comes the fun part. Syria and Russia are very buddy-buddy, and they have been since the 1940s. They have been allies since Russia wasn't Russia. It was the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. And currently, the person who is the head of Russia is a gentleman who used to be a member of the KGB, who has had his dealings with Syria in the past. Listen to me, starting to sound like Barack Hussein Obama. But so here comes the weird part, because this is when all that stuff about the relationship between Trump and Russia start to come into play, because you can either see this as sort of Trump trying to say, I ain't your boy, Putin, or you can see it as just more behind the scenes to try and distract from something.
I think he's just going to be surprised that he and Putin aren't besties anymore.
Yeah. Well, the best we can hope for is that this thing will shrug off and it'll be a non-event.
Yeah. But
there's a lot of shit in the game right here, and
there really is.
Another thing it points out is that clearly Trump's bark is worse than his bite.
Mm-hmm.
He launched 50 missiles and only killed 9.
Exactly.
You could give somebody competent 50 Tomahawk missiles and they would turn Syria into the 51st U.S. state.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't even imagine how much that cost.
Well, each Tomahawk missile, last I checked, is like $30 million per missile.
It's $3.5 million.
$3.5 million.
$3.5 million times 59. You get your figure.
I think people were saying it was enough to fund the NEA for a year.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, the problem with that thinking is they already paid for the missiles.
Yeah, they already have.
Yeah.
So
that is true. Mm. But they're just going to make fucking more of them, and we're going to be paying for more of them.
Mm. Yeah.
Man, they've got to spend that $50 billion more.
Because apparently we can't have enough money to help fund, you know, free college or universal health care.
And speaking of
food for starving children, Meals for Wheels. Meals on Wheels.
Yeah.
At least the good thing with Meals on Wheels is that the majority of its funding is private. So
it is.
It's going to keep going, I think. So
still isn't exactly good PR, though.
No.
No, but...
Especially when the guy who was trying to push it basically came out like a massive social Darwinist dickhead.
But Bernie's been in the news again.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I was going to bring that up. So, on the other side of the aisle, Vermont Independent Senator Bernie Sanders, with a couple of others, has reintroduced it after reintroducing his Medicare for All Act, is now reintroducing his College for All Act. And, yeah, so, and this time he's got more people backing him up.
He's got 4 co-sponsors now when he had 0 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He has a chance of going somewhere now.
Yeah. And he also has, his, of course, the Medicare for All thing is still, which hasn't been voted on yet, still going through the preliminary hearings and stuff like that. The Medicare for All thing got, like, well over, I think the last I checked it was, like, 75 other senators to back him up on that one. And it's probably growing.
Good.
This is now, you and I both know that neither one of these have any chance of passing. But honestly, that's not really the point. Because basically, this is going to be how you're going to make your little checklist. And you're going to use this as a bully, as sort of your bully pulpit, so that you can, once the 2018 elections come around, you'll know who supported it and who didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, I do like the idea that this would be paid for by Wall Street.
Yeah, basically a tax on Wall Street speculation.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, our income taxes wouldn't have to go up at all.
Yeah.
It's like 0.5% on stock trades, 50 mm-hmm. cents for every $100, 0.1 yeah. fee on bonds, and 0.005% fee on derivatives.
Yeah. Yep.
Get about $600 billion over the next decade.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is endorsed by about 1,000 economists. Says, hey, it's probably a good idea.
Yep. Yeah. Yes, those are actual economists we need to mention. Not some quacks with the American Enterprise Institute or...
Yeah.
Cato or one of those people.
Probably not the people that got us into trouble 10 years ago.
No. Right. But, yeah, so really, obviously, just don't get your hopes up. Obviously, either if it doesn't, if you don't expect it to pass, you should still be harassing your representatives and whatnot, see, to get them to try and vote on this because, you know, remember, despite, you know, all of depending on how the vote goes, that's going to be your little checklist about who needs to get voted out next year. So, you know, just remember that.
Yep.
And going from taking shit seriously to taking something and making it look just utterly ridiculous. Pepsi Cola.
Yeah, so, this ad was dumb.
Oh, it was so dumb on just so many different levels. So Pepsi came out with a ad with a well, it was Kylie Jenner.
Yep.
Kendall Jenner.
Kendall Jenner. Okay.
And I get the Jenner straight.
Does it matter?
How fucking many are there?
There's several.
Oh, God. Haven't they heard of condoms?
Well. But, anyway, so this Pepsi ad, it was basically supposed to be a, so Kaylin Jenner is there, and she's basically modeling or something, and then she looks outside a window, and there's, like, a rally.
Yeah.
A rally being held that looks an awful lot like a Black Lives Matter rally, even though it's mostly made up of white people.
And the signs are all bullshit.
Yeah, it's like join really...
It's a join the conversation.
It's like...
What is that? It's all fucking Twitter shit.
It's like the most wishy-washy liberal bullshit you could possibly come up with.
Yeah.
How do we make controversy-free protest signs? I want to say there's one with some sort of Islam on there, and it's fake Islam writing, so that gets those people upset.
Yeah.
They couldn't even do justice to an actual language.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the board meeting that led to this commercial.
No.
Everybody's talking about protest.
I want to see the creative process.
See, here's the thing, though. I haven't gotten to the ending yet. So what happens is that Caitlyn Jenner, she walks out of the building, goes over to the dividing line between the protesters and the police that have showed up, and she gives one of the police a Pepsi, and he gives an approving grin, and then everybody's happy.
Yep.
Oh my god, it's a Mentos ad thought through to an illogical conclusion.
This is just... This ad just doesn't work on so many levels. It's not even, like, it's not even funny. I think the ad agency that came up with this ought to be fired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They should be put out of business.
They should be drawn and quartered.
Yeah, I mean, okay. The big complaint here, okay, there's a lot of problems with this ad, but the big complaint is that it basically, you know, denigrates protests, it belittles them in a way.
Mm-hmm. It's extremely tone deaf. Yeah. Is like,
I mean, all you need is Pepsi to solve your problems.
Yeah.
And the thing is, people tried to sort of compare this to the. Okay, you guys remember the old Coca-Cola commercial? You know, I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were trying to compare that to this to that. And the problem with that is because the thing about that Coca-Cola ad is that it was trying to actually have a message behind it.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that Coke was related was kind of incidental.
Yeah. Well, that ad worked because, yes, it was a positive message.
Yeah.
But it was also, like, it was memorable.
Yeah.
This is just...
This was entirely using political controversy to sell a product, and that, yeah. And it's pretty obvious, too.
Yeah, it's just bad.
I mean, you're using one of the frickin' Jenner Kardashian clan. What do you
expect his one to happen?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, like, she would actually... intervene in one of these things and not just call for security.
Yeah. Anyway, so moving on. North Carolina, everybody knows they had their HB2 repeal, but not really bill that passed.
Yeah.
And PR apparently, spent. Yep, and the NCAA apparently, yeah. And the NCAA apparently fell for it because they're reinstating their ability to host title games.
Hmm. Okay, then.
So, and a lot of the language they use is like, oh, the new law has minimally achieved a situation where we believe NCAA championships may be conducted in a non-discriminatory environment. In the end, a majority on the NCAA Board of Governors reluctantly voted to allow consideration of championship bids in North Carolina.
Reluctant.
That's a lot of qualifications.
It's like,
we had one person over the necessary to pass this.
Yeah.
So we kind of have to do it, but
mm-hmm.
we don't know if it's right or not.
The rest of the board wants to do it, so we're stuck with it.
Yep. Because that's what it's like when you got a board of directors.
Yep.
Yeah, the board remains concerned that some may perceive North Carolina's moratorium against affording opportunities for communities to extend basic civil rights. It's like, what?
It's a pretty good concern.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So...
But whatever. It's
yeah, it's North Carolina. We're
not sure. At that point, you kind of have to just take what you can get.
Yeah.
Well. Anyway, so yeah, moving on from the NCAA to the NHL. The NHL is not participating in the 2018 Olympics.
Now, this is it's not the controversy that some might have you believe, just because it's not a new rule. It's a reinstatement of an old rule. I'm not sure what my position on it is, because I can actually see both sides of the argument. Players play hard in the Olympics. Players who are under contract, I should add, and as much as they want to do it, the teams that employ these players have to wonder if it's worth it to send their players to the Olympics where they might get hurt, where, you know, long-term injuries are entirely possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know,
especially with salaries going where they're going.
Yeah. I kind of look at this as a net positive in the end, really. Because, if all these very well-proven NHL players aren't in the Olympics, it kind of opens the door for the stars of tomorrow who would potentially get NHL contracts in the future. So, in the end, the league would end up winning anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's possible.
Mm. Mm. I can definitely see, like, individual players wanting to go.
Yeah.
Because I think Ovechkin said he's going no matter what anybody else says.
All right. Well, moving on from there.
Hopefully he doesn't get seen as being in breach of his contract in the process.
Right. Yeah, I got to remember that.
Yeah.
So, moving on from there, Comedy Central recently unveiled the trailer for a new show they got coming out called The President Show.
Yep.
It's supposed to come out on the 27th.
Yep.
Yep.
Good. And it looked funny.
Yes, need to watch.
I mean, that was a damn near perfect impersonation of Donald Trump.
Yeah,
probably even better than Alec Baldwin's.
Yeah,
that's saying something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And here's the thing, though. Are they going to run into the same problems that Trey Parker and Matt Stone had with That's My Bush? Well, no, I said. Well, I would say I take that back, though, because I forgot to mention, that show ran up until a certain thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
So they hopefully will not have that issue.
Yeah.
A certain thing.
A certain thing that we will never, ever forget.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. That's why it only lasted one season. Even though the show was hysterically funny.
Hmm.
That's the risk with, like, these uber topical shows run.
Yeah. Sometimes they become a little too relevant for their own good.
Yeah. So relevant that it's impossible to enjoy them outside of context.
Yeah.
Look on their Wikipedia, That's My Bush ended in August 2001.
Hmm.
Oh, so...
Because it was a super expensive show on a small network.
Yeah.
So it was too expensive.
That's why they thought that...
Well, I guess Trey Parker said it probably wouldn't have survived 9/11 anyway.
Yeah. Because then it would have become a whole different show.
Yeah.
Besides, they had to get back on South Park anyway, because America kind of needed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least it lets it end before it can stretch it too far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get the one good season, and that's all you really need.
Yeah.
Because the rest of it's all a joke after that.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Real life.
So,
yeah. So,
this one out, because it looks very, very entertaining.
There's a bunch of girls sunbathing outside. Everybody leave the room. Anyway, moving on from there, let's see, what do we got here? We've got a new trailer for a new series, The Defenders, that's going to be for Marvel and Netflix.
Yeah.
And
this is where all those shows like Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist,
Jessica Jones.
This is where that's all leading.
Yep. They're basically going to do pull an Avengers.
Yep.
Let's just hope they can pull it off.
A low cost Avengers.
Low cost Avengers. So the Avengers B team.
TV Avengers.
Yeah.
And I like just from this teaser, you just see. Looks like they're just improvising this as they go, because Daredevil just has like a shirt wrapped around his head. Well, he's got a suit on.
Yeah. I just hope this goes better than Iron Fist.
Iron Fist. Man, that thing kind of... that thing kind of tripped out of the gate, didn't it?
Yeah. It just kind of fell on its face. Yeah. August 2018 is when we'll see this new series, which is a very, very long time.
I think it's August 18th.
August 18th? Oh, this year.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because when Jessica hits the camera, the footage stops at 8/18/2017.
Mm-hmm. See what we're used to from Marvel, though? It just didn't seem that far-fetched.
Yeah, that it would be announced next year. But no, this is... Okay, so it's soon.
And I guess Sigourney Weaver is playing Alexandra.
Yeah.
Damn.
The main villain for this.
Yeah. And in other Marvel news, we got another show coming to Freeform in 2018 next year. New Warriors, which, amongst others, will be starring Squirrel Girl.
That's an interesting series for them to visit.
Well, Squirrel Girl's been kind of a massive meme.
No, I mean New Warriors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. But it's basically going to be a comedy.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if you want to do a comedy, Squirrel Girl is basically the...
Yeah.
Because only in Squirrel Girl can you have both comedic, you know, compared to Deadpool, where you can have comedic possibilities mixed with, you know, one person with the power to destroy everything.
Yeah.
That they see.
How serious most of the Marvel stuff has been lately, I think something a little bit more lighthearted would probably be a good palate cleanser, so this might actually do pretty well.
Yeah, if they do it right.
Yeah.
So and, who else is in New Warriors? Who's in it?
It depends on which version they go with.
I actually don't know, to be honest. Let's see here.
The article doesn't mention anybody else. It says they got to announce it later.
The series will feature fan favorite Squirrel Girl being played by Doreen Green. No, I mean, that's her real name, Doreen Green. They say additional cast will be announced.
Yeah.
So we don't know yet.
They're also working
on
Cloak and Dagger.
Same. Yeah, they're also working on...
That's an interesting one to bring back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, let's see. And I'd love... There's a bunch of possibilities they could bring in for this.
Yep.
But whatever. So, let's hope it's good, because like Phil said, we kind of need a palate cleanser here as far as the Marvel stuff is concerned. Some of it just gets a little too dark for its own good.
Yeah, the executive producers on that show are also working on The Defenders.
Yeah.
I guess they're doing the Punisher show. I don't know, since Marvel's The Punisher. I'm assuming that's a show, not a movie. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a spinoff of Daredevil. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And, Frank Castle, everybody's favorite serial killer / vigilante.
Yes.
That's the thing. That's the part about the Punisher few people really ever talk about.
Yeah, he is kind of a psychopath, but he's a good psychopath.
He's our psychopath.
I remember seeing somebody highlight the stupidest villain in the Punisher, who's a guy just like finds the grave of his family and decides to piss all over it. Makes that public. It's like, okay, this guy's the stupidest person alive. To piss off the one person
in the Marvel universe on the side of the heroes that has absolutely no problem with killing you and killing you very, very slowly.
For his revenge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. And we'll make it last as long as possible.
Yeah, because... all right, so moving on from there, we've got something that sounds just downright awful. Burger King is going to be introducing, on the 17th, 10 days from now, their new line of Fruit Loops milkshakes.
I'll try it.
It sounds like the stuff left over in the bottom of the bag. And some horrible high fructose slurry special sauce. You heard special sauce, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That was in there. Well, didn't hear it, but
well, it says a secret sweet sauce.
Well, if you eat plenty of pineapples. I guess that'll work. But actually looking at this thing,
it's like a blizzard, pretty much.
It's like a blizzard with Fruit Loops in it.
Yeah.
You know, part of it for me is, like, I can't stand Fruit Loops anyway, so this is not going to appeal to me.
Yeah.
So. Look at those articles keep spelling Fruit Loops differently.
Well, yeah, but he's a godless heathen from Kanuckistan. So, of course, he hates something as American as Fruit Loops.
Needs his bagged cereal up there.
Yes, we do eat bagged cereal up here. And we have milk in bags, too, so there.
Yeah.
Do you ever make a mess that way?
No, actually, putting them in the bags is actually cheaper and more environmentally friendly in the long run.
Mm-hmm. But I'd use a whole lot of Bounty if I had milk in a bag.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it comes with like a little spout or something on them.
Well,
bag off. That's all you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but does it really keep its shape in the fridge? I mean, does it fit in the door of the fridge very well? There's too many variables.
We have bag holders here. That's what they're for.
How the bag holders? What the fuck are bag holders?
You take the bag of milk, you put it
ladies and gentlemen, yet another thing. Yeah.
And then you cut the corner and then you pour your milk out. Jeez.
So it's a makeshift jug.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, yet another reminder that Canada is not the United States. That it is, in fact, a sovereign nation with its own customs.
Okay.
Do you have to wash it a lot? I'm just asking too many questions about this. I want pictures. I have to go to the internet.
It's probably just a piece of plastic.
Yeah, it's just a little piece of plastic.
Just plastic bag, dude.
It's easy.
It's actually not that difficult to get your mind around, believe it or not.
Well, I'm picturing like an empty shell of a Tupperware pitcher. Oh my god, yeah, it's nice. Okay, never mind.
See, told you. It's Canadian, of course it's nice.
It looks Tupperware. I like it.
Canadians do not, you know, they cannot allow something to exist that is not, you know, nice and polite and convenient.
Yeah.
Well, as true as that may be, I'd find some way to fuck this up.
Well, yeah, but that's your fault, not theirs.
Get used to it.
Yeah. So, I suppose.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, speaking of Canada.
This is fun.
Oh, yeah, this is just hilarious. I have a feeling that when I watch... when I watch What the Fuck is Wrong with You tomorrow on YouTube, this story may come up.
Yes.
A Canadian man nearly died due to an addiction to licorice jelly beans.
Is he taking these orally? Before I click on the link, tell me.
He's eating them.
Yes. Okay,
a 50-bean bag every day.
Yep. That's 50. Eating a lot of them.
50 jelly beans a day?
Yes. Yeah.
Just straight up, like, eating them by the handful.
Well, Well, what the hell bad is that going to do?
50 isn't that much.
It's just licorice.
So yeah, he was suffering from abdominal pain for 3 days, appetite loss, vomiting, dry mouth. Mm-hmm. When he went to the emergency ward, he was dangerously high blood pressure, hypokalemia, low potassium levels that can lead to lethal heart arrhythmia. Mm-hmm. They couldn't figure out why this was happening because he didn't have any family history of these issues. They realized, oh, maybe it's these jelly beans because he was eating them in the hospital. I guess somebody was bringing them in for him.
So here's the thing. Specifically, licorice. Remember, these weren't just jelly beans. They were licorice jelly beans.
The only kind worth eating.
And the thing about licorice is that in some people, it can cause high blood pressure and a potassium imbalance.
Hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah,
this.
Lucky for me, I don't even like licorice.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Somebody had a German case, a patient with acute vision impairment because of hypertension sparked by a considerable consumption of licorice. Oh my God.
That's
licorice is no joke.
It's tragic and adorable at the same time.
Yeah, so they told him to stop eating the jelly beans, and within days, everything was back to normal.
Yep.
Hey.
So if they hadn't figured that out, he would have
probably died.
Either been in long-term treatment.
Yeah. Or died.
Oh boy! And speaking of which. In other what the fuck is wrong with you, more like what the fuck is right with you. Mm. Oh boy. Exciting new developments in screwing with your local library.
Oh no.
So, I don't know about you guys, but I frequent my local library. Well, of course, I know Teresa does.
Yes, I have to go tomorrow, otherwise I'm going to be paying some damn late fines.
Yeah. It's a neat place if it's well-funded and has a good stock.
Yeah.
You can spend hours in there, and it's usually pretty quiet. So apparently everybody here... Okay. So everybody here, are you guys familiar with World Book Encyclopedia?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So obviously these were the, you know, back before you had the internet, like Google and Wikipedia, you basically had to go to an actual, you know, paper encyclopedia.
Yeah.
Which was arranged in a series of several books. Hmm. Usually they also came with a World Book Dictionary.
Yep.
Which was usually two gigantic, knee-crushing mm-hmm. volumes. The latest editions of the World Book Encyclopedia, when you line them all together, they form up letters that say World Book, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently some random trickster has apparently gone to... What library was this?
I don't think it matters.
I don't think it matters either, because I think this might be happening in several libraries across the country.
It will now.
The one person did posted it because... they have the numbers on the spine, so people can see it and just go do it themselves.
Yeah.
One of them says it's Fort Saskatchewan High School Library.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, basically, to make a long story short, they rearranged all of the volumes of the encyclopedia so that instead of spelling out World Book, it now spells out Weird Cock.
One of the best things happened to a library for a long time.
Especially a high school library.
Admiral came up with this.
Yeah. I wonder how long it was before like somebody in the library actually saw this and was made aware of it. Because pretty sure those volumes don't get all that much use.
Well, unless you know you were my high school where they made you use the...
Yeah, could be.
Oh my God.
I do have to admit that is a work of stroke of pure genius.
Yep.
Especially to come from a high schooler.
That's thinking outside the box there.
And some of these pictures from 2013.
So this has been going on for a while.
Okay. And now I want to go check out the encyclopedia section while I'm there tomorrow. Oh, and I'm going to a second library.
You're
going to
do it.
Yeah, just write down the volumes, order.
Yeah.
I will do it at the other library. I'm not doing it at my home library. I want
remember
them
to take pictures.
Shit for me. Yeah.
Take pictures, put it on Snapchat. Post it on Facebook.
Yeah.
We'll all get to enjoy it.
It's like the time you find the magazine stack of the National Geographics.
Yeah. It's, it just goes to show you that, Izzy's days are a lot more intelligent than people give them credit for.
They really are.
Better it's a deviant adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't really know.
Be honest, I knew some folks at the faculty in my high school that I would totally see doing something like this.
Yeah, yeah, like one of the first tweets on here says her girlfriend is a librarian, she would most likely do this. So you gotta find the weird cock bandit.
That's right, folks.
That's gonna be a new Scooby-Doo mystery.
That's Home Alone 6, whatever they're at this point. Just Harry Marr with the weird cock bandits.
Yeah. Alright. Well, folks, it's time again, once again, to revisit Gamer Mag Remembrances Game Pro number 109. And hopefully we'll be able to finish it this time.
Yep, we're still making our way
through. We're doing good for time.
Yeah, we're good for time. So, last time we left off, we were talking about WWF 98 for the PlayStation.
Yep.
It was 30% complete at the time. It was a 90s-ass 90s WWF game.
It was not good.
It wasn't great, but it was kind of all we had at the time.
Mm-hmm. All right. But it was kind of, you know, it was just the era.
Yeah.
But on the opposite page, we've got here a ad for Colony Wars for the PlayStation.
Yes.
Which is
a very good game.
Yes.
Psygnosis. All right. Sorry, I had to look there.
Yeah, Sony owned.
Yeah.
Surprised he never dipped back into that series.
Hmm.
Yeah, they did free them on the PlayStation, and then they just went away.
Yeah.
Into some sort of like Warhawk resurgence.
Right. So, following up from there, we've got another preview. It's Gex Enter the Gecko for PlayStation.
This was an okay game.
Yes, it was. I quite enjoyed it back in the day. And part of what made this game fun, of course, like we said last time, is just the sheer amount of satire it did for just about every genre of film that existed.
Yeah.
You had your horror stages, which referenced everything from, you know, Friday the 13th to Carrie. You had your secret agent stages and your kung fu stages and just about every stage you could think of. And all with a little gecko.
Yep.
Only this one won't give you car insurance.
No.
He will give you a foot to the face or he will give you the D.
Came out too early for that.
Yeah, might steal your car though.
Yeah, totally might. And all right, so that game was 40% complete at the time. On the opposite page, we've got a 3-page thing for Nuclear Strike from Electronic Arts for PlayStation and PC.
Yeah, this was the last of the Strike games, I think, and it was okay.
It was a meh.
Yeah, the series was kind of getting a little long in the tooth at that point. So.
All right, and then next up, Patrick, take a look at what we got here. Street Fighter EX Plus.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. So, Street Fighter EX, for those of you who don't know, was sort of it was Capcom's first sort of step of taking the Street Fighter series into the third dimension.
Well, if you want to be technical about it, it wasn't Capcom's, it was Arika's.
But they were working with Capcom.
Yeah, it was all Capcom characters too. So.
Yeah. But it turned out It was very late 90s PlayStation.
Slow, broken.
Slow, broken. It was a 3D game, but not really.
Yeah.
I mean, if you played Grapplers, you were loving life.
Yeah.
If you're playing anybody else, yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah, just be thankful for Street Fighter 4 and 5.
Yeah.
So you can have this and take it way out of your memory.
Hmm.
Though it did have a couple of characters that were kind of neat. But some of which will be coming out in, what was it, Layer Fighter?
Fighting Layer.
All right. Maybe if that's what it ends up being.
The name that a lot of people are giving it is Fighting Layer EX.
Yeah. And, oh lord, below it we've got Earthworm Jim 3 for Nintendo 64 and PlayStation, the game that killed the franchise.
Yes.
Killed it dead.
Killed it dead, and you could tell right away that it was going to do that.
Yeah. You know that first time you booted up Bubsy 3D?
And you wish you hadn't.
Well,
Rockstar published the N64 version in the US.
Hmm.
Yeah, I know.
Well, the developers, they worked on State of Emergency.
Yeah, that was
Evil Dead, A Fistful of Broomstick. A Boomstick.
Mm-hmm.
Broomstick.
That's the kitty version. They also worked on that Narc remake.
Oh, yes, they did.
To an Xbox.
God, it just... If there is a franchise that could come back today and come back in a big way, it's Earthworm Jim.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you did it properly.
Yeah.
And there are things you have to do to make it work properly.
Yeah. What studio do you go with?
Well, that's the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who exactly? Because the thing about the Earthworm Jim games is they were randomness personified in game form.
Oh, I know who you go with. The Behemoth.
There you go. Or who was it that worked on the HD remake? I don't remember, because I know they made like a completely new level for the game.
Hmm.
I know because the boss for that was Keyboard Cat. But okay. You have to do that. You know, you have to get some of the old people back. I know Doug Ten Apple would probably be okay coming back to it. Although that would probably... Yeah. You would have to get Doug Ten Apple back, but that will cause controversy.
Yeah.
No, it will.
You also have to get Tommy Tallarico to redo it, too.
Yes.
To post the music.
Do it. Well, Tommy Tallarico would be more than happy to do it.
I'm pretty sure.
The Doug Ten Apple thing would be the controversy here, though, because Doug Ten Apple is a pretty divisive person, to say the least.
Yeah.
And for the rec, and... Well, let's just leave it at that. Doug Ten Apple is a brilliant cartoonist and an amazing graphic novelist, but he's kind of a shit human being.
Yeah.
On the opposite page, we've got an ad for Software ETC Babbage's.
Yeah.
Speaking of places that don't exist anymore. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, and then we got sneak previews for both Colony Wars and G-Police, both for the PlayStation.
Yeah.
We already
talked.
Yeah, both good games. Both of them sadly kind of unremembered now. Mm. But by the time this issue was made, they were over 2/3 complete.
Mm.
So, well, 3/4 complete,
yeah.
I guess. But, And then
Psygnosis was prolific back then.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they were. Psygnosis was putting out a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And then on the opposite next three pages, we've got Croc: Legend of the Gobbos for PlayStation. Game that a lot of people don't know originally started out as a Yoshi game.
Yeah.
And kinda sorta also may have been the inspiration for the creation of Super Mario 64.
If you squint, it almost looks like it still is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It's kind of an underrated game. I mean, if it's one of those you probably should at least put some time into. Cause it's
Be prepared, because the controls are a little janky.
Yeah, I mean,
this is pre-DualShock Sony, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. And keep in mind that this game was in development before Super Mario 64. So, yeah. And everybody remembers that by modern standards, Super Mario 64's controls are a little janky. Not great. But they were the pinnacle back then. So remember what you're dealing with here.
Yeah.
But yes, the game is 100% worth playing.
Yep.
At least once.
Yep, it's an Argonaut game.
Yeah. Next up, we've got previews for Crash Bandicoot 2 and Red Asphalt, both for PlayStation. Obviously, Crash Bandicoot 2 was amazing.
Yep.
It was a great... Red Asphalt was the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Was that sort of the beginning of the end for Interplay?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, Interplay started taking a lot of L's right around this time.
Yeah.
I remember, because, it was just, their name just kind of became a laughing stock.
Yeah.
For a while. And look, we got a ripoff of the Power Glove.
Yeah. I don't know why they tried this again. I just don't.
For some reason.
It makes more sense than the Power Glove.
Well, yeah, a little bit, but.
But to be honest, why?
Yeah.
Well,
it doesn't
nowadays
make
with VR, yes, I could see that you would need something like that.
But, well, yeah, right? But I mean, this is, you know, just regular old regular ass console gaming.
Yeah.
You know, what's the point?
Yep.
And then, of course.
The name, the video game Control Glove.
Mm-hmm.
At theglove.com.
Yeah.
The Glove.
It's so inspiring.
See, theglove.com is not the name, the URL of the site that I would go to today.
No.
I got my rubber glove. It's time to think of love.
Wow.
Theglove.com.
Yeah. Moving on from there, we've got...
We're drunk enough that that's actually kind of funny.
Yeah. So, we got sneak previews, some more, both of them for PlayStation and Saturn.
On that page.
Yes, Mega Man X4 and Super Street Fighter Collection.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, some Capcom at their best over here.
Yeah, but yeah, you got Mega Man X4, which was amazing. You got Super Street Fighter Collection. So you got all the Super Street Fighter versions.
It was just two games. It was Super Street. Well, no, it was three games because Super Street Fighter 2, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Mm-hmm.
I keep forgetting that Super Street Fighter 2 was in that collection because I never played that on it. It was always the T. And then Disc 2 was Street Fighter Alpha 2 Gold.
Yeah. I remember how awesome it was going into the arcade one day and finding the existence of Super Street Fighter. Because I had played the hell out of Street Fighter 2 at that point.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, there's Street Fighter, and there's new characters! Granted, only one...
new board.
Yeah.
Yep.
Granted, only one of them really was really worth a damn, but still. New characters.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the day where it's like you played Sagat or you died.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. But, all right, and then...
No, I was just over here as my kind of janky DJ main.
Mm-hmm.
It was
character
fun.
That was specifically made for the American version.
By one of their U.S. employees.
Yeah. It, kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, it worked.
Actually, you know, I said that four characters, only one of them is worth a damn. I forgot Fei Long was one of them.
Yeah.
Man, you could...
I used to refer to DJ as the fun version of Guile.
Yeah. Man, if you played him right, you could freaking annihilate people with Fei Long. Like,
yeah.
And in a very short amount of time, too.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's a reason he's one of the most hated characters to fight in that game, because... You play him on just regular difficulty. He just destroys you.
Yeah.
But anyway,
well,
so...
he was one of the earliest examples of a fighting game character that actually wants to keep their opponent on their feet.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you don't want to score knockdowns. You just keep your opponent standing and tee off on him.
Exactly. So, all right, and over here on another page, we've got Rampage World Tour, an ad. This game was okay in the arcades. It sucked on the home consoles. Oh, my God, it sucked.
Yeah, and I don't know what happened, because PlayStation could have handled it. It just didn't.
It was awful. It was awful.
And then we have a really big gun.
Yes.
Gun
then,
Con.
Yeah, the Gun Con. The Namco PlayStation Gun Con, or the home version
to me that,
for Time Crisis.
It just occurred to me that Nintendo is lucky that Namco are good people.
Yeah.
Because would the Joy-Con technically be an infringement of the whole con line that Namco had going on at the time? They had the Neg Con, the Jog Con, the Gun Con, I think a couple of others.
Yeah, but they didn't have a Joy-Con, so...
Yeah, so... Hey, kids, get one free in specially marked boxes of Time Crisis. That is... Wow, that is a lot darker now that you think about it. Holy shit. That is...
There's a gun and a kid.
That's not... No. That would not fly today.
Oh, because now it's like, you know, it's that old joke about American gun culture.
Yeah.
You know, they're like prizes in a cereal box.
Well, it's not a joke. It's the truth.
Well, yeah, it's true. But, wow, that is 90. Well, and keep in mind, you forget.
But
then
again,
this
is nice to be so truthful. I got to keep remembering.
Well, yeah, but keep in mind, this issue came out in 1997. Guess what happened 2 years after this?
Columbine?
Ooh.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The most accurate gun on the PlayStation console.
Mm-hmm. Oh, jeez.
The reason I bring that up is...
It's the only gun on the PlayStation console at the time.
Yeah. The reason I bring that up is because after Columbine, you wouldn't see shit like this anymore.
Nope.
Oh, God, this fucking text. Presenting a shooting game so intense it comes with its own weapon.
Yeah.
That was a 90s ass copy.
Yeah, and they're using Comic Sans. Or at least a variant of it.
Oh, my God, they are.
Yeah. We talked about Comic Sans last week.
Yeah.
And we pointed out the purpose why this is the wrong way to go about it. Comic Sans was created for a very specific purpose.
Yeah.
Blast away and duck for cover as you exterminate the criminal element in a variety of hidden zones. It's fast, it's frenzied, it's shoot first and do the chalk outline later. This isn't a bad thing for kids to read.
Yep.
Again, like I said, after Columbine,
nobody gave a fuck.
Yeah. And then 2 years later, everybody gave a fuck.
You see this cool guy with a gun? Don't you want to be like him?
Yeah.
Well, he ends up getting the chick. Anyway, so...
point out, Time Crisis was a good game, so...
Yeah. There's that. So you got that for it. Hmm. All right, so we've got more sneak previews first. One for the PlayStation.
Yep.
And oh, and also Croc again.
Yep.
They actually had hands-on time with these two, and but again, at this point, Croc was 80% complete, so it was almost ready to ship. It would come out of October that year. Of course, I'm pretty sure that Super Mario 64.
When did that come out? Well, it was a launch game
over here, September 96.
Yeah. So they beat Croc to the punch.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. And then next up, we got three here. All of the two of them for PlayStation, Steel Rain and Dragon Ball GT. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
No.
I actually had an original copy of that.
Well, keep in mind, this is back when Dragon Ball Z was the shit.
No. Yeah. No, it's not. It was before Dragon Ball Z was the shit.
Ah, yeah.
That's why they only shipped a couple thousand copies. Then Dragon Ball Z landed and became a cultural phenomenon, and there were only a couple thousand copies to go around.
Then they
I forgot. This is 97. I forgot.
Yeah.
Didn't I buy that from you, Pat?
Well, it was kind of a mutually beneficial arrangement that we made, but without going into great detail on it, yeah, you kind of did.
Yeah.
There might have been an exchange.
eBay was involved. There were some other games involved.
Yeah, that was the first time
it worked out really well for both of us.
And then when I was working at Funko Land at Christmas, I got my hands on another one and sold another copy of Dragon Ball GT.
See, I didn't know about that.
That one I put up and somebody paid $500 for it.
That went for more than mine did.
It did.
Because mine went... You got $400 out of mine, right?
Yeah.
It was around there, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one went at Christmas time for $500 from a guy with zero feedback, and he fucking paid.
Yep. And then he got the game home and realized he had just spent $400 on a complete turd.
Yeah.
$500.
Yeah, it was not a good game.
No. Well, then again, most of the Dragon Ball fighting games are kind of shit.
Oh, Teresa, did you play it before you flipped it?
Yep.
Yeah. So you know.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way, for the Nintendo 64, we've got Dual Heroes. That game sucked.
Never played it.
Okay. I did. It was awful. Hmm. Not worth talking about. Moving on.
I like how we're just going through a lot of these and going, okay, turd.
Well, we
this
have
one was okay, of... turd.
See, we have hindsight here, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, so we got an ad for Mass Destruction for the PlayStation. It was a tank shooter.
Didn't play it.
Moving on. Jet Moto 2. For the PlayStation.
Played this one.
Yeah.
I don't know if Mountain Dew has screenshots.
Airman Space!
Oh, God, we rented that a couple of times.
It was a good game. Lots of Mountain Dew, though.
Yeah.
All right, and then we've got...
Jet Moto was something I probably would have gotten into at some point if Wave Race hadn't been a thing.
Yeah. Because it was kind of really...
Because Wave Race just did control so much better.
Yeah.
Right.
I played a demo of one of the Jet Moto games one time, and any desire that I had to pick up the series went away with it.
Yeah.
That's why I could probably come back.
Yep. So, on top of that, we've also got Maximum Force for the PlayStation and Saturn. This was originally a...
Midway.
This was a light gun game, wasn't it?
If not, the screenshots make it look like one.
It's an FMV.
Arcade.
This is Midway Home Entertainment. Okay, yeah, this is definitely...
Strapped with only a gun, you shoot up the screen.
Hmm.
Blasting any terrorists that get in your way. Before we knew what terrorists were.
Yeah. All three missions with a bunch of hidden rooms. All right.
Three missions? That's worth $50.
Yeah. And then underneath it, we got Pandemonium 2, and it looks like this preview was done before they gave the characters their new looks.
Yep.
Because, as you don't know, they took Nikki, you know, the female character, and holy shit that they tarred her up.
Oh, yeah. This was before that, it looks like.
Yeah.
Those covers for those games creep me out.
Oh, yeah. Then on the opposite page, we've got Aero Fighters Assault for the N64. I think this is a flight simulator.
Yeah, simulator would be stretching it, but... Yeah.
Paradigm Entertainment.
Yeah. This is like, it's a flight simulator the way Ace Combat is a flight simulator.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It's as much of a flight simulator as you're going to get on the 64.
Yeah.
And then we got a ad for NHL Power Play 98.
Soon to be never heard of from
again. That was not a great game.
Yeah. But we had more than one NHL game at that time.
It was Virgin Entertainment. Yeah, like four or five at least.
Yeah.
Cloning sheep don't mean jack. We cloned the Dominator.
Yeah, but... You know, here we are in 2017, and everybody remembers Dolly. Does anyone remember this game?
Nope.
They do remember Dominic Hasek.
Yeah.
All right, and then we got three here, all of them for PlayStation. Violent Seed, which is a Well, it's a top-down shooter.
Yeah. Didn't play this one, so can't comment.
And then we got the reboot game.
Did play that. I can comment. It was shit.
Yeah. Reboot Countdown to Chaos. It was awful. And people were still excited about it, though, because it was still only halfway complete, and Reboot was still in living memory.
Yeah.
Oh, this was EA.
Yeah, it was. Electronic Arts. And then we got Running Wild.
Blue Shift.
Yeah. They all...
Didn't play this one.
Yeah, this was a foot racer.
Mm. As Universal trying to say, hey, you like Crash Bandicoot? You're not getting it with this.
Yes, and then on this page and the page after it, we've got ads for Oddworld Abe's Odyssey, which is one of those Oddworld inhabitants. Man, they were geniuses ahead of their time.
Yep, they really were.
And God, that's just the amount of insane creativity.
Yep.
That they put
it's a game that should have hit big.
Well, it kind of did.
Dude, it did. Farts a lot.
But what happened is they kind of overstretched themselves. So they had this, and then Oddworld Abe's Exodus, which was sort of a pseudo sequel. And both of those games did really well. But then they were trying to do the next sort of proper Odyssey game, which would eventually. If I remember correctly, it was originally going to be a release title for the Xbox.
PS2.
A launch title for the PS2. And
then Money Hat happened.
Yeah, it was Oddworld. I'm trying to remember what that game was called. It was Oddworld.
Munch's Odyssey.
No, not Stranger's Wrath. Stranger's Wrath was
Odyssey.
Munch's Odyssey, that's right. And then they decided to shut the game studio down and go over to movies. That didn't pan out. They were a little too ambitious.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks because the movie they were coming up with actually looked really awesome. But unfortunately, it didn't pan out. But,
Yeah, I want to say there's some good interviews on maybe Giant Bomb or the PlayStation blogcast with Lauren Lanning. And he goes into depth about some of the bad stuff that happened with the second game where they're essentially paid to get that out the next fall. Trying to rush that out, and as well as the stuff that happened with Munch's Odyssey and all that.
Is he still salty?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think
surprised
he just doesn't
really
care that much anymore because they get to just do whatever they want now.
Yeah.
No publisher telling them what to do.
Yeah. Fortunately, they exist. You know, they do exist again now. They did reform. Yeah.
They're working on a new remake
of Oddworld Soulstorm. They're also making a new game called Oddworld Soulstorm, which is supposed to come out.
I'm going to say that's a remake of the second game.
It might be, but it's coming out later this year.
Yeah, they keep putting up their, like, ARG kind of thing on Twitter. Figure out what this is.
Yeah.
It's fucking Abe, you assholes.
And anyway, they had two film projects that were going to go. One of them was called Citizen Siege, and the other was called Wage Wars.
That's really cool. We're bigger than games, man.
Yeah, they wanted to do like 3D animated movies with like, you know, very adult themes, which I would be 100% in favor of, and kind of wish it would have happened. Sadly, it didn't pan out.
Yeah,
or at least not now. It could always happen again in the future. Yeah. I like to be optimistic.
Oh,
moving on.
Next page, and I'm seeing Blasto.
Yeah, Blasto. Talk about just that. Man, they had plans for this character.
Yeah.
So many plans. Just a huge merchandise line, a cartoon, a comic book series.
Yeah.
No problem, though. And for the record, the game actually wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
It was pretty fun.
As hell.
Yeah, it was hard.
a little too hard.
But... Just a small... And it also had the fact that it was heavily being creatively done by... the guy who was also its voice actor. And that's kind of the problem, because something horrible happened to the voice actor. The voice actor was Phil Hartman.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
It's still too soon.
This was actually the last project he worked on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the worst parts of watching the first 10 seasons of Simpsons is seeing what he's done.
Yeah. But, and then underneath that, we got
Dylan Cuthbert worked on that game.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Some good talent on there.
Oh, yeah. And then below that, we got Frogger for PlayStation and Windows 95. This was the 3D remake.
Yeah, this was
ended up being ported to all of the things, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this was the time when they were, like, doing 3D remakes of everything.
Literally everything.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I had this.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was Frogger.
It was Frogger. I mean, it's kind of hard to screw up Frogger.
Yeah.
She's like, hey, how can we force this into 3D?
It's hard to screw up Frogger until you add more advanced platforming.
Yeah. And then
that's what they did.
Yeah. And then we have Sonic R. Oh, God.
I still need that.
Yeah. No, you don't.
Really?
This is the Sonic Racing game. And,
Well, they couldn't figure out how to make an actual Sonic game. They made a bunch of spinoffs.
Yeah. God, every time... I'm sorry, it's just... from now until the end of time, anytime I see anything 3D Sonic related, be it from the past or from the future, all I'm going to hear is... from that one Big the Cat stage in Sonic Adventure. The out-of-tune slide guitar.
Yeah.
And watching Aaron Hansen slowly lose his mind on Game Grumps.
Now, on the plus side, obviously we have Sonic Mania coming, which is more or less a make-good on the entire fifth generation for Sega, where... what if instead of making all these spin-offs and trying to make a ham-fisted 3D Sonic game for the Saturn, what if they just made another really good 2D Sonic on the Saturn spec? It just made me think of that.
Yeah.
Next, crazy enough to work.
Yeah. So next up after that, we've got Versus for the PlayStation. This was a fighting game basically against a bunch of rival street gangs.
Yeah.
Remember what I said a couple podcasts ago about what happened when fighting games went straight to console?
Yeah.
Yeah. And this was Konami, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that didn't go well.
It was developed by...
If you take the arcade step, it could have turned out pretty well.
Mm-hmm. And, but otherwise...
Oh, God, this is the team that made Incredible Crisis.
Yep.
And Galarians. Mm-hmm. Outrun 2, SP, SDX.
Mm-hmm. Well, that one was good.
Yeah, so underneath that, we got Ghost in the Shell for PlayStation. This, of course, was the official Ghost. Yep. This was 1997. This was like the year after the movie came out.
Yeah. I never played this one, so I don't know if the
I played a demo.
Actually turned out well or not.
It was okay.
Right.
Yeah. It was, this was right around the time when Ghost in the Shell, you know, the movie came over here and became just a big freaking deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it should have been. It's an amazing freaking movie.
Yeah.
It's worth watching more than once. It's got a lot of layers to it. And of course the comic was also getting serialized over here too. I own that, by the way.
Nice.
The original version, the uncensored one.
Nice.
The one that's got Major Kusanagi and the lesbian threesome on the virtual boat. Within like the first 20 pages.
Wow. I remember this.
It's called character establishment.
And then underneath that we got Kill Wheel. For the PlayStation. I have no idea.
Because the 90s.
Because the 90s just...
Don't know.
Apparently the Jumping Flash devs worked on that Ghost in the Shell game.
I believe it.
Yeah. By the way, just for the record...
Wikipedia doesn't know what Kill Wheel is.
Yeah.
This was one of the developers.
Yeah. By the way, just for just so you know, what I just mentioned, that is not in the official versions of the Ghost in the Shell manga anymore. Hmm. You won't find it. You have to look online to look it up. Hmm. But I still have the original Dark Horse version, so... Yeah. All right, and then we've got an ad for NCAA Football 98.
Yay.
College football. And then we got an ad for MLB. Really, yeah. Then we got MLB 98.
That was also good. I think it was the first sports game with the career mode in it.
Yep.
They had spring training mode, essentially. We made a
this
player
is the one that went on to be the show, training. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Sony tries to act like it's a different series, but it's the same thing, same people.
Yeah.
You go back a little further, it was Pennant Race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, no, and this now is the show.
Yeah. And now we've got PC Game Pro, where we talk about old school PC games.
Yay!
First is their reviews, by the way. Yeah. First one is Atomic Bomberman.
Oh, I love that game.
And it got pretty good scores. 4.5, 4s, 4, and 4.5. So, then underneath it, we've got that old school 90s classic, Carmageddon.
Yeah.
Oh, this game was just... Oh, it...
Riddled with controversy.
Oh, it was just eaten up with the 90s. And, yeah, it was controversial as hell.
Yep, because it let you hit people.
Yeah. Gee, wasn't there a movie that you had that? Yes, there was.
Several, actually.
Several. And, oh, and here's this ad here. This game is really close to my heart. I freaking love this game. Mischief Makers for Nintendo 64.
That was treasure, wasn't it?
Yes, it was treasure. And holy crap, was that game ever fun. Of course it was. It was treasure. But yeah, basically you play this cyborg girl and your whole sort of way of interacting was grabbing shit. Grabbed enemies, threw them, grabbed guns, and they would just fire automatically. Grabbed missiles, you could ride on them.
Strange love.
It was just crazy loony shit. And now, we got some more. We got some previews. Myth the Fallen Lord.
Second Myth game that Bungie did.
Yeah, this is the other Myth game from Bungie.
Yep. Yeah, this was the one that shipped with a bug that if you didn't install it to the default directory, it would delete your hard drive.
Yep.
What the what?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the uninstaller was badly written.
Yeah, remember and when games the reason used to release complete, bug-free?
Yeah.
And that's the reason why you don't see any Myth games anymore.
If it wasn't in the default folder, it would just scorched earth the hard drive looking for it?
Yeah, it would just delete the... It was looking for program files slash whatever myth folder that it was in. And it would do a delete of the parent folder.
Oh my god.
Shit. Like, it's not in here. Okay, we can delete that. It's not in this one. Okay, delete it. It's
like, well, the game's fucking gone.
So is the rest of your computer.
Yeah.
All right, and then underneath that, we got Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Can't say it doesn't work.
I never played this. I never found out if it was any good or not.
Me either.
It was
played a little bit of it.
Wasn't it like a point-and-click adventure thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah. And then we got Postal.
Yeah.
More 90s.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Postal, this game was just...
It was stupidity. Let's just be...
Yeah, it was basically doing everything you could to court controversy to sell something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally, because the game was shit.
So basically it wanted to be hatred when it grew up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hatred. Except the difference was that Postal had their tongue firmly in cheek.
Yeah.
whereas Hatred played itself super duper serious.
Yeah.
Even though it was stupid.
Though now Postal's kind of in the taking it serious place now.
Yeah. And then underneath that, we got Zork, Grand Inquisitor. Zork.
Now, this can't be a Zork game.
Yeah, because there's images.
Graphics. Yeah.
You know, and then
Vision, game engine.
Yeah. Next up, we got an Elder Scrolls Legend Battle Spire.
No, just
I've not heard of this.
Do not play this game.
Don't just run in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Back to Skyrim. You don't want none of this.
There was a couple of Elder Scrolls spin-off games. There was this, and there was, what was the other one that I can't, well, the name escapes me right now. But anyway, there were a couple of them, and then neither of them were very good.
Mm-hmm.
It was like they were being worked on by Bethesda's B team, apparently. But so they didn't turn out too good.
Yeah, I remember my first exposure to the series was Arena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the first Elder Scrolls game, so.
Exactly. So, let's
see. I feel like we're, like, breaking some kind of unspoken but sacred rule by even acknowledging this game's existence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's well acknowledged. It's just, yeah, it's like, for the people that have never seen it, it's like, yeah, don't spend a whole lot of money on this on eBay. If you really want to play it, you can get it on GOG and then wish you hadn't. And
take
advantage of their refund policy. Cause...
Not quite to the level of, you know, Zelda Wand of Gamelon, in that it's an abomination that you wish you could, you know, just exile to another realm. But it's close.
Yeah.
All right. Underneath that, we've got Total Annihilation.
This was a real-time strategy game that always looked very interesting to me, that I never even got to so much as play.
Yeah.
That's a good game.
Yeah, and then we got Populous, The Third Coming.
I didn't play this one.
It's a Populous game.
It's
totally okay.
It's God game. Wouldn't this be... this is Peter Molyneux, isn't it?
Yep.
That's what I thought.
I'm not sure if he was still involved at the time, but he started it.
Yeah. All right. And then next up, we got a three
description on that Battlespire game on Wikipedia. Unlike other Elder Scrolls games, Battlespire lacks a rest feature. Throughout the game, there are no merchants to buy items from. Consequently, there aren't any gold pieces to find. Enemies do not reset when the player leaves the area, and they are also not randomized as they were in Arena and Daggerfall.
Yeah,
just a list of things it's not from the other games.
doesn't do any of that.
Yeah. So next up, we got a 3-page ad for Moto Racer. Yeah, the game where you could race dirt bikes on the Great Wall of China.
Yep, and street bikes, and this game actually came back last year, and I kind of wish it hadn't.
Really?
Mm-hmm. You didn't know Motor Racer 4 came out last year.
Well, I heard about it, but I hadn't heard any verdicts.
Yeah, it's like, well, just pretend that game never came out.
Mm-hmm. That's unfortunate.
Just, you know, turn your head, pretend it just...
Yeah.
All right, and then next up, oh God.
Oh dear.
God. Where should we start?
Well,
how about we skip it?
This is the game that nearly killed the franchise.
Yeah.
Which is saying something, because standards weren't that high to begin with.
Yeah, so a little bit of backstory. We're talking about Mortal Kombat 4 here, and the thing is, what you're seeing here is not the full game, it's the Road Tour version. Because basically what Midway did is they created this essentially a demo version.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's all they had time to do at the time.
And they sort of just toured it around country that summer. And
kind of an overhyped version of what Japan used to, well, still does, call loc tests.
Yeah. Basically, they were just sort of gathering data from players.
Yeah.
Seeing how they reacted. And apparently they threw all that shit out the window, because then the full version came out and it was god-awful.
Yeah. It's like they took all the feedback and then said, no, let's not do any of that.
No. And so, yeah, this was the Mortal Kombat's first entry into the third dimension, and it does not age well at all. It is...
it was chunky as hell.
Yeah, there is a reason that...
they had
to
do some soul-searching after this one.
Mm-hmm. And then eventually we got, what was it, Deadly Alliance?
Yeah,
but that came out several years later.
Yeah, it came out several years later. They were still clearly very lost.
Yeah.
But...
it was heads and shoulders above Mortal Kombat 4 in terms of quality.
Yeah.
But... this... it's... this game, there's a reason why, you know, the Sonya Blade and Jax ending on this game have become memes on YouTube. It's that bad.
Yeah.
It's also the game that gave us, alright.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we've got another 90s ass ad for a Death Trap Dungeon.
Yeah.
For the PlayStation.
I shouldn't admit that I own a copy of this game.
Yeah. The funny thing is, you would be surprised at how apt a description of the experience of playing this game is compared to that image.
Mm.
Only it's not you playing it, it's actually playing it.
Yep.
And not great marketing to say there's only one thing more torturous than playing Death Trap Dungeon.
Not playing it.
Yeah.
And then we got an ad for Red Asphalt. God, that game was
shit.
Should
have been a licensed game.
Yeah.
To the other Red Asphalt.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the...
movie they show you in Driver's Ed.
Yeah. Yes, that would have been a whole different game.
Yeah.
His brain fell out!
Yeah, there's your Jackass game.
Yeah. Oh, God.
All right, and then we've got a PlayStation Oddworld Abe's Odyssey. Yeah, it was a review, and look, it got an amazing review.
Yeah.
Of course it did, because it was a great game.
Yeah, it was a great game. It wasn't for everybody, but it was a great game.
Yeah. It was one of those games that did require you to think.
Mm-hmm.
It
was a
British like all cinematic
game.
Platform, like all cinematic platformers, the things that you take for granted in regular platformers will kill you. All right, and let's see, and then we got the Time Crisis PlayStation.
Yeah,
I don't know if I mentioned this, but I used to have this.
Shooty shooty bang bang.
Mm-hmm. So here's the thing about the PlayStation version of Time Crisis. It also came with a second scenario. Outside of the castle fortress thing that you were going through.
Yeah.
There was another one. And it was twice as freaking hard.
Can't do your money's worth with that game.
Yeah. Yeah, so I used to have this, and I had this, and, God, what was that other Namco light gun game?
Point Blank.
The one that was basically like a shooting gallery.
Point Blank.
Yeah. Yeah.
Point Blank, yeah, I had that one. Which came with the Point Blank RPG.
Okay.
Yes. Hmm. And then we got an ad for Maximum Force.
Again.
Another shooting game with text that wouldn't fly today.
Yeah.
Yeah, really would not. And then we got Treasures of the Deep PlayStation.
Which we've talked about already.
Yeah. Apparently, Dr. Zombie really liked it. And then you got an ad for the Ultimate PlayStation Guide. Ultimate Guide to PlayStation Games. Let's see. And then we got PlayStation Machine Hunter. This game I do not remember.
Yeah,
they seem to like it enough.
Yeah, I think I may have played this, but it's been so...
Yeah.
It's been so long.
Yeah, mm-hmm. One of the things I've realized going through some of these old magazines is there was a shit ton of PlayStation games that I just do not remember existing.
Yeah.
There were a shit ton of games.
there really were.
See, and then we got an ad for Gex Enter the Gecko from Crystal Dynamics.
Gee, I wonder what this is parodying.
We've rebuilt him, made him stronger, faster. We have the technology.
Yep.
And then we got a 2-page ad for Fighting Force.
Yeah.
That game was so much fun.
Yep.
And then we got Car and Driver present Gran Tour Racing 98 for PlayStation. Apparently it wasn't that good.
No, it kind of wasn't.
And then, of course, we got the Marvel Superheroes fighting game.
Oh.
From Capcom.
I remember this. Yeah. It was amazing.
Using some elements of it in the upcoming Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Yeah. Yep. It was basically a bunch of Marvel characters. The main bosses were, I believe, Doctor Doom and Thanos, I believe.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, you played everyone from, like, you know, Spider-Man, Wolverine, Captain America, Iron Man, a couple of,
Hulk.
Yeah, the Hulk.
Go out of your way to play the Saturn version. Don't play the PlayStation version if you can avoid it.
Yeah. Yeah, and, let's see. Then we got an ad, 2-page ad for Steel Rain for the PlayStation. The dude, lone dude in the desert in a tank, basically singing 900 Bullet Riddles Bodies on the Good God.
No.
Jeez, just no.
So much no.
That's a game I couldn't find on Wikipedia, so that says a lot. Yeah. A Sony game that's not on Wikipedia.
Mm. And then we got Felony 1179 for the PlayStation.
Yeah, roundabout game.
Yeah. It was, apparently they, it was... Done by Bad Hair.
Roundabout over here because we don't know what the fuck those are.
Exactly. Because roundabouts kind of sort of don't exist over here.
Like I've seen one.
They do in Cache Valley.
Well, we've got a couple. Yeah.
There's a few here and there.
They're just not as plentiful here as they are in other parts of the world.
We don't like driving around in circles like idiots.
Yeah. Because we're America. And then we've got the ad for the Acklabs RS Racing System steering wheel apparatus.
Yeah. That was
it's like cartridges you put in for different platforms.
The drivers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we've got a very apt 2-page ad for Tomb Raider 2. Because, that's kind of where we were at after the first Tomb Raider came out. Lara Croft officially became the first waifu.
As about this drunk college kid with his altar to Lara Croft.
Yeah. But, that was Crystal Dynamics, wasn't it? Yeah, it was.
Still Crystal Dynamics. They did the first. Well,
it was Core.
Yeah. All right. And then,
Crystal's working on Gex, I think, new one. At the time.
Yeah. And then we got PlayStation Porsche Challenge and Syndicate Wars.
Porsche Challenge, that was... What the heck? Oh, that was a Need for Speed game.
Yeah. And Syndicate Wars, I guess, was related to the Syndicate series?
Yeah, vaguely.
Yeah, vaguely. And let's see, and then we got... Oh, we got one of those tips hotlines that GamePro used to do.
A lot of money.
Naturally.
And they talk as slowly as they possibly could to drain every last penny.
Actually, that Porsche Challenge game was Sony.
Really?
Done by London Studio. We did Wipeout.
All right.
Was it Wipeout?
No.
And next up, we've got a cult classic. Yeah. And on the PlayStation, next up, we got a cult classic survival horror game for the PlayStation, Clock Tower. That game was one of the most nerve-wracking experiences I ever had.
This is one that would be... due for a modern remake.
Oh, yeah.
There is a modern Kickstarter reboot.
Because there are a few things in the world as terrifying as Scissor Man. Seriously. And then they got Bravo Air Race. Do not remember that one. And then the Fantastic Four game.
No thanks.
Nope, that was bad. Let's not do that one again.
And I'm pretty sure this was right around the time when She-Hulk was a member. So
yeah, there's a picture of She-Hulk on the bottom one.
Yeah. Yeah, just ignore this game. It was awful.
Yeah.
Bad, bad, bad. Did a bad, bad thing.
Yeah.
And we got Ray Storm.
Which was great.
Yeah, and then we got Warcraft 2, The Dark Saga.
Which was also great.
Mm-hmm. And Dark Light Conflict.
Which I didn't play.
Yeah, I did not play either. And then we got Saturn Bomberman.
Yes.
You played quite
so,
a bit.
So, I want to bring everyone's attention to that bottom screenshot.
Mm-hmm.
It was how I spent many, many an evening in the late 90s.
Yep.
Blowing
a 10-player game.
Yeah.
On a stage large enough to sustain it.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yeah.
And it was Netlink compatible.
So oh my god.
Did guess who had a Netlink?
Man, that's that was MMO gaming. Yeah. Back in the 90s.
That is why I take Bomberman fucking seriously today.
Yep.
10 players.
Yeah. And, of course, look at the reception it got. Fun factor's really high. Sound and graphics,
sort of okay, but yeah.
Sound is underrated on that one, actually. I thought the soundtrack was terrific.
Then next up, we've got an ad for Wild 9. I remember Wild 9.
I don't.
Basically, the whole purpose.
I heard
of
a lot
that
about
game,
it. Don't remember. Well, I never played it.
Yeah. So. Basically, you had a dude who had like a little gravity beam thing on his chest that he could use to pick things up. He could pick things up and crush his enemies, or he could pick up his enemies and do horrible, horrible, horrible things to them. Electrocute them, plant them on spikes, throw them into giant fans. Whatever.
So it was kind of like Siphon Filter, where I just hold a taser on people until they caught fire.
Exactly. And then we got an ad for Kart World Series. PlayStation.
Not a great game, but Sony would lose the car license shortly after, and it would go to a much better place.
Yeah. And now to the sports.
One of my favorite arcade racers of all time.
Yep. And now to the sports rages. And I think after we finish with the sports, well, man, there's a lot of sports. Holy crap.
Still on this magazine.
Yeah, we don't really have to go through all of them.
We can probably go through a couple of them. Yeah, but basically the important ones are Madden NFL 98.
That was a statement game for them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And also NFL Game Day 98 as well.
Yep, that was when there was competition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Madden was the last of their sprite-based football games.
Yeah. And then we also...
It was like, hey... Polygons are pretty good for football games.
Yeah. And then we got, you know, NCAA Football 98, VR Baseball 97, Pole Position 64, Manx TT, World Series Baseball 98, blah, blah, blah. And Madden 64.
Yeah.
And NBA Hardwood Heroes... NHL 98.
NHL 98 was really good.
Mm-hmm. And NASCAR 98 and Formula One Championship Edition.
Yeah, Formula One was great.
And then we got a 2-page ad for Ace Combat 2.
I like how many screenshots for that Formula One game are of the car in the air.
Didn't really happen in Formula One, but okay.
You could tell when they were trying to take screenshots, they had somebody that didn't know how to play it.
Yeah, and we got a 2-page thing for Ace Combat 2, and then we got, okay, and then these are the last two-page. Okay. Jimmy Johnson's VR Football 98. Nagano Winter Olympics. Sega Touring Car.
Yes.
Which was a great game.
And NHL Breakaway 98.
Which kind of wasn't.
No.
I don't remember that game, but that's a claim, so it's bad. So,
yes.
Yeah. And they got some stuff about NCAA March Madness 98.
Yeah. March Madness.
I do not remember.
Yeah. Probably nobody should.
Yeah. And then on page 174, we have the great one.
It's a Tetrisphere ad.
Oh. You're ruining the moment, Chris.
Oh, it's like they got a Jawbreaker.
It got a pretty good reception when it came out. I never got around to playing it.
Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
Damn, you should have.
No, Tetris here.
Oh. Yeah, that's right. And then you got an NHL 98 ad. And then we got Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Yeah, a game which...
That's hard.
Hard game, but great game. Amazing soundtrack. Great graphics for the time.
Worth every second you spend on it.
Very meme-tastic voice acting.
I'm glad they fixed that on the PSP version, to be honest.
Yeah. Die, monster. You don't belong in this world. God. What is a man? No, I'm not going to do that again. But yeah, this game was hard as balls.
Yeah.
And it only got harder once you had to do the castle upside down. Let's see. And then we got...
That's how you got the right ending notes.
Yeah. And then we got... Let's see. Oh, we got an ad for Raystorm.
Win $10,000.
Down in the bottom right corner there. That's all you need to know.
Which game? Spaz. Which game? Working Designs.
That's the one.
Right. And then we got... Oh, we got Albert Odyssey.
God, that was a good game. Oh. Freaking loved it.
I need to hook the Saturn back up.
I wanted to play this game so bad, but I couldn't because I didn't have a Saturn.
Mm. Now you can emulate it.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
How's that coming along? No, that's going to be a conversation that takes us...
derails us,
yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, this was an amazing game. From what I've been told. And then we got an ad for Dynasty Warriors. The very Fighting first game. One. The very yep. first one. Yeah,
no Lubu very... on this page, but there's Cow.
Yeah.
There's a
this is the,
little
the
known fact.
The very first Dynasty Warriors game was, in fact, a one-on-one fighting game.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The reason that the Dynasty Warriors games in Japan are named... one behind here in the U.S. is because it was such a big change when they went from the one-on-one fighting game of Dynasty Warriors to the sort of giant field hack and Action slash game. That that was Dynasty Warriors 2. That Dynasty Warriors 2 in Japan was called Shin Sangoku Musou.
Mm-hmm. Or Super Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, the first Dynasty Warriors was a pretty decent fighter. It was just so weird because you were playing historical figures, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like playing a fighting game based around, like, the American Revolution.
I would play that.
Honestly, yeah, it's like a homebrew game playing as the Founding Fathers.
Yeah. And, like, King George III would be, like, the final boss, and he'd have, like, weird-ass sorcerer powers or something.
Yeah.
And so this first game was Omega Force all the way back then.
Yep. Little-known fact, you know who brought over Dynasty Warriors 2 over here? Who helped port it?
Who? Yeah.
It was a little company called. Hold on, I need to look it up because you're gonna. I'll let you know because let's see. It was ported over here by It's obviously it was a Koei game. It was Midas Interactive. You know what Midas Interactive did? They're the ones who brought over the Dingo Studios cartoons over here and made them into quote-unquote games. maybe yes.
It's a good thing they didn't fuck it up too bad.
Yeah.
Now we have 6 or 7 games after that.
Yeah. And then we got F1 Pole Position 64, no, Ubisoft.
Yeah.
No, you don't. And in this place, you don't need whatever.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Fighter's Edge.
Yeah. Fighter's Edge, Mace, The Dark Age. And yes, you could play a chicken in this game.
Yeah.
Just, so, you know, that was one of the secret characters.
Yeah.
Hojo the Chicken.
Hojo the Chicken.
Yeah, this was a very underrated game.
Insanely.
Times.
Just, and we will continue to say it.
Yeah.
Until we get it into you people's thick heads.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah. I loved the fact that one of the characters you played was, Warmech, which was a dwarf in like a
giant mech suit. Yeah.
Yeah, that was made out of like you know, old steam and parts and
very steampunky.
If you know the machines that, you know, the dwarves in Warcraft put together.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. And then there was, and of course they don't tell you about the final boss in this game.
No.
It isn't Grendel. just good luck on that one is all I gotta say.
Have fun with that.
Then we got SWAT bonus section. Oh, stuff for Die Hard Arcade.
Fantastic game.
That game was so much fun in the arcades.
Very underrated.
Just amazing. Just the amount of shit you could do in it.
Yep.
And then there's Die Hard Trilogy, which is 3 separate games.
Yeah, it's completely different.
Yeah.
None of them as good as this.
Yeah. Oh, and then we've got an ad for Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero.
We'll just skip right past
it. Shitty fonts for a shitty game.
Yeah.
Yeah. More Die Hard. Okay, we got Dark Rift. Okay, who here remembers this game?
Not me.
I remember its existence.
Yeah, this was a fantasy-based 2-on-2 fighting game for the Nintendo 64. It was okay. And then we got a bunch of SWAT Pro stuff, you know.
It's the Fear Effect people.
Yeah,
bunch of. Yeah.
More tips.
More tips and tricks. And then we got one of those infamous back of the magazine.
Oh yeah,
game sellers, the really shifty, shady ones.
Yeah.
Let's see, and yeah, I think this is just about it.
Game Pro Online,
NBA Hang Time. Play this game.
Yeah, and that's it. Last thing,
America
is,
Online keyword Game Pro.
Yeah,
all your Game Pro news there.
America Online.
All right, well, there, we finished it.
Yep.
It.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Man, we never thought we would either, but that was a fun issue to go through, though.
It was.
Yeah.
And it's looking at that issue, what is it that goes through your head?
Fuck, I miss Saturn Bomberman.
Yeah. And just... Remember, we talked a lot about Final Fantasy VII and why it was so awesome. You gotta remember, Final Fantasy VII came out around the time when Square Enix was... Well, it wasn't Square Enix yet, it was just Squaresoft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was the shit. I mean, until Air Guys, there was nothing they released that was, at least over here, that wasn't worth playing.
Yeah.
It was the time when you could go to a game store and you went into the PlayStation or Saturn section and you saw that snowy white background, you knew you were in for a good time.
Yep.
Yep.
By the way, how come no game companies do that anymore.
Yeah. I don't know.
Just have like a sort of... Yeah, probably. Hmm. Well...
Marketing teams.
Yeah, I guess so. But anyway, I do believe we have a show, folks.
Yeah.
So... I would like to remind all our listeners that if you want to write into the show, ask us a question, or anything of that sort, you can contact us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. You can also, other than iTunes, you can also see us on Google Play, RSS, and all the things. Basically, just go to a format, type our name in, and there's a good 50-50 chance we're on there somewhere.
Yep, so...
And so, for that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo DiNalvo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sams, and Curly Sologi, I would like to say good night, get some sleep out there, and remember, quack means no.